This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the end of the year, 29th of December, 2017. Well, let me just get started here real quick. What I have to talk about here is warehouse stocks. And this is silver that I'm looking at first. And so the combined total, this is physical, is round numbers, 243 million ounces of fine silver. But there is a breakdown to get to that number. And the number I'm pointing to now is the eligible category, which means that is held by long-term investors for the most part. It is not available to the market. The way it becomes available to the market is that the eligible holder has to sign the receipt and put it into the registered category, and then it can be transferred. So this is basically held in the COMEX various banks. We could call them warehouses, but they're basically banks for people that are holding this silver as an investment. The registered category, by the way, that number is 198 million ounces. So that leaves the registered category, which is what I call the dealer inventory, and that's what it is. And that's only 44 million, or we can round it up to 45 million ounces, which is a very small fraction of the 243 million ounces that is total on in the banks being held. Most is being held for people that are just holding it. They are not selling it. And so let's move on to gold. When we talk about gold, it gets to be even more interesting from my perspective, because the total in gold in the warehouses or the banks, really, on the exchange is 9 million ounces. And the amount in the eligible or long-term investors, again, cannot be sold unless the owner decides to sign a receipt and send it into the registered category, is 8.5 million ounces. And the amount of registered gold that the dealers have is a pathetic 641,209.35 ounces of gold. So the old idea that's been asked of me and many others over years and years, and it doesn't come up that often anymore, is why doesn't somebody come in and just buy up that pitifully small amount of gold and take care of business? And there's several answers to that. The main one is that the restrictions, or the way the rules are written on the paper exchanges, is that they'll never default, quote unquote, default in legal terms. What do I mean? I mean, because their definition is that they have force majeure capability. In other words, they can default and say, well, we can't meet it, an act of nature. And there's all kinds of roadblocks that are up there to protect the short interests, not the longs, that would prevent that happening. In theory, it could happen, but it's almost at the point now it's ridiculous when you look at the amount of gold that's held and the amount that's actually in the register of the dealer inventory. It's pathetically small. And more keeps coming off little by little off these exchanges. Usually what happens in the last couple of years really is, instead of going to the ETF or somebody's basement, they basically shift categories, moving out of the registered category here and into the eligible category. But regardless of what the situation is, the truth of the matter is very simple. There's very little physical gold and silver held by the dealers on the COMEX exchange. The first headline this week is from Wolf Street, Wolf Richter. Peak good times, question mark, stock market risk spikes a new high. Talks about the risk. I'm not going to read the article. What I want to point out is that really gold is contracyclical to the stock market, even more so than the dollar. Basically, it's as Martin Armstrong talks about, it's a vote against government currencies. And it's really a vote against the economy at large. It's a hedge. It's the barometer of how things are really going. And so with a huge stock market rally that we've seen, gold was up about 13% for the year 2017, which, if you can think about it, means that gold actually performed fairly well versus what it's most contra to or reciprocal to, which is the stock market. So if the stock market making new high, new high, new high, new high, you could expect gold to be new low, low or low or flat or even down, and it didn't do that. So actually, the underlying strength of gold, and I'm not trying to talk my book here, I'm sure many will accuse me of that, but the facts are gold is up 13% for the year in a runaway to the upside stock market. So something to consider, that gold is actually performing quite well under the current conditions. I think those conditions are going to shift in 2018, but I'm unclear of how much. But as always, I will let the market dictate to me really more than I will dictate to it. And coming back to Charles Hugh Smith, which I think he's a great thinker. He and I don't agree on everything, but nonetheless, love to read him. And this is a very interesting article. I won't, again, read it to you, but the headline is one reason why the status quo disdains Bitcoin is that the wrong people are getting rich. He goes on to open saying the psychology of money, wealth, and speculative mania is endlessly fascinating. Couldn't agree more. But the title of the article basically says it all. I mean, the elites have this idea that they are in control and they're destined to be there, the divine right of kings, the old man manifest destiny, all these things that the public school system programs people to believe, that this class warfare, and that, you know, you're only going to be able to rise to the middle class and a few maybe upper middle class, but as far as getting into the upper, you've got to be asked aboard, and all of this stuff that prevails in this very, very interesting time in financial history or history in general. So I suggest you read the article, but it makes me laugh in a way, because certainly there are some people out there that have certainly become Bitcoin millionaires, and some of the powers that be, or the old money, you might say, or the new Silicon Valley money, are jealous of the fact that basically anyone that was smart enough to get in, and I'm not a Bitcoin advocate, but I'm a free market advocate, that got in like 2009 or whatever, or 2010, and put in a fairly good amount and rode most of it all the way up, certainly has done well in paper terms. So I'll leave it at that. That's about all I have to say about the cryptocurrencies this week. And another great article from Steve St. Angelo, SRS Rocco, on his website. The headline reads, the U.S. shale oil industry swindling and stealing energy to stay alive. I won't read the article. I know a lot of you that follow my weekly perspectives or reviews or my view look and are subscribers to Steve's website, which I highly recommend. Basically, the amount of energy availability in the United States on an economic basis is not nearly as robust as the mainstream news pretends that exists. If you really look at the numbers, as Steve does over and over again, it's readily apparent that there are big problems going forward. Now, with that, I will talk a little bit about the Morgan Report. The new issue will be out here momentarily on this weekend before the 1st of January 2018. And one thing to look at is the top picks for the next 18 months. Every time we've done this in the last few years, we have beat both the XAU and the HUI and even the GDX by a fair amount. So that's something to pay attention to. We do have a new recommendation. We actually had two, but one kind of got away to us on the upside. So coming back to oil, I just mentioned, I am looking at oil as having a potential up move this year. In 2018, I mean, because of the current situation in the Middle East that continues to deteriorate. And with all this happened with the shakeout of shakes, I might put it in that term. And a lot remains to be determined there. But I think there's going to be more pressure to the upside on oil than many are talking about at this current point in time. Additionally, we are in the first issue where we're looking at silver money from a crypto affiliation. In other words, a cryptocurrency / silver melding. And this is getting off the ground. I am involved. I'm warning everybody that's either a member of the Morgan Report or on the free service, or just happens to stumble on one of our weekly perspectives or an update or a radio show or whatever. Buyer beware. I mean, I am willing to risk some money and see if this thing works. I think it will. I wouldn't have been involved, but nonetheless, I don't want anyone to get hurt. And it's commodity-based. It's commodity-tied. It's tied to silver, so it's not going to take off based on, you know, who's behind it or who likes it or what the name of it is or where the jurisdiction is or any of that stuff. So it's, but it is a very unique thing. I'm not going to tell you much more about it. People that are members of the Morgan Report will have a first look at it. We'll go through everything. We interviewed the founders this has been kind of a year in the making, meaning it's been about a year since we met with the main group, the start of this in Canada, and doing our due diligence, going to several meetings, et cetera. We decided to participate, and it's the first time we've written about it. And then, of course, we've been adding this blockchain brief to the last several months of the Morgan Report, and then, of course, always letters to the editor. So that's it. I wish everyone a great and happy, prosperous, and let's say more truthful new year. I think that there is going to be a great deal of shuffling around the mainstream to be able to keep their face with all of the news that's going to be breaking out that's going to be detrimental to the deep state. I'll leave it at that, rather vague, but I think it is going to be quite a year in 2018. So I'll leave it at that. Again, wish everyone a happy new year.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.